Hello and welcome to Brewcast from Maze of Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Chiarotti here along with Scotty White, and we're here with you on Monday night, January 9th, headed into Tuesday, January 10th, wishing that we were instead watching Michigan play Georgia for a national championship. Instead, as we record this, it is halftime and Georgia is up 38 to frickin' 7 at the break. But Scotty, we've got some big news surrounding Michigan football to get to here today. How you doing, man?
Dude, I mean, watching this game, it's tough. I'm glad that I'm not watching Michigan getting destroyed by Georgia, but at the same time, it's like, how did we lose to this team? I love doing Brewcast, but this is the one day that we didn't want to do it, man.
No. Tomorrow would have been a lot more fun to do it had Michigan been playing here tonight. But unfortunately, could not get past TCU. Too many mistakes. But the good news is Michigan is going to put themselves in a position to get right back there next year. And we'll just jump right into it. The big news of the day. We actually had, four announcements here today alone for Michigan football regarding their future. But the big one, the one that everyone was looking out for, came today about 2 o'clock in the Rich Eisen show. Blake Corum announced he is returning for one more year at Michigan. An absolutely major announcement. A guy who was absolutely unbelievable here this year. Really was kind of the heart and soul of the offense for almost the entire season. Gets hurt in the Illinois game. And in Michigan, to their credit, went out, beat Ohio State, beat Purdue, won the Big Ten championship without Blake Corum. Donovan Edwards was unbelievable. But this gives Michigan that 1-2 punch between him and Edwards next year. A major announcement that puts Michigan right at the forefront of national championship aspirations once again.
Yeah, dude, I mean, this just totally lofts the expectations even higher for this team going into next year. You go back to last year at the end of the season, and we have this expectation, okay, we could be even better, and now we have the same expectation going into next year. And, I mean, J.J. McCarthy and Donovan Edwards were already going to be pretty high up on the Heisman odds. Now Michigan should have three players on the offense that are pretty high up there. So the offense, I mean, there are no question marks there. Michigan's offense should be incredible next year.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a large discussion to be had here as well, and that is the fact that this is why NIL is good for college football. Yes. I understand there's a lot of stuff happening out there right now that probably isn't great, and that's the false promises being made, the tampering that's going on via the transfer portal and offering huge sums of money for guys to leave their programs and come to a new one. And then sometimes those payments not ultimately happening, a lot of lying, a lot of deceit that's happening. But this is what's good about NIL. It allows Blake Corum too, because he said he wanted today, obviously unfinished business on the football field, but he also wanted to earn his degree, from Michigan. And this is going to help with that. It's going to, help with that financial burden. He's going to be able to make the money that he should, being, the forefront of Michigan. How many times has Blake Corum, the guy that was the preview picture for Big Noon Saturday, Big Noon Kickoff, just things like that. Like, he's obviously owed a lot. He's a huge name. He's a huge star. And this allows for him to go out, finish his degree, but again, try and compete for a national championship and bring one home to Michigan for the first time since 97.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great part of NIL, and I'm hoping that it comes back and gets some more players to return. I think it was Zinter. He quoted the tweet of Blake Corum, his return, with a little thinking emoji. So hopefully some key pieces of the offensive line come back, because, I mean, Michigan's rushing attack was simply unstoppable this year up until TCU did a pretty good job handling them. But, my expectations for next year were really high, but I really can see Michigan getting to the top next year with what they're going to have. Hopefully this Georgia team takes a couple steps back, but the expectations are as high as ever going into next season, man.
Well, that's the thing here too, right? Is you take a look at the landscape of college football and, you know, the major contenders each and every year give a look at what they're losing. Obviously, Ohio State's going to have a lot of skill position guys coming back. But CJ Stroud is gone. You know, that they're also losing Paris Johnson. That's going to be, you know, big over you know, at the left tackle position. They'll be returned a lot, but losing CJ Stroud, who's a back-to-back Heisman finalist, it's going to be tough. I understand Ryan Day has a very good offense and a lot of quarterbacks can step in and do big things. You know, we saw CJ Stroud do it last year, but that's a step back, whereas Michigan's returning in that position. Alabama is losing their Heisman-winning quarterback at Bryce Young. Georgia losing Stetson Bennett, and who has been fantastic over the last couple of years. He looks great here tonight, at least in the first half. You know, some other teams, I'm just trying to, you know, kind of think about it. Notre Dame's going to be tough next year, obviously, with getting Hartman to come over there. But ultimately, you think of the big players, you know, in college football. Clemson, they feel like they've taken a bit of a step back here.
Definitely.
You know, and I don't even think Cade Klubnik looked all that good in their bowl game. I think he'll be just fine, but ultimately, given what Michigan returns, returning the quarterback, returning their top two running backs, probably returning a good chunk of their receiving production. Obviously, we'll get to Schoonmaker here in a moment, but returning a bunch out there, especially if CJ comes back, some guys waiting in the wings to step up. Lost Andrell Anthony, but I mean, a guy like Colson Loveland, who has apparently a star in the making, you know, given what he did the last couple of weeks. We'll see what happens on the offensive line, but if most of those guys return as well, like, yeah, with all these other teams kind of losing, you know, the most important position, Michigan's returning a lot, including their quarterback, who's got a full season of starting under his wings now. And you know, ultimately, outside of the couple of pick sixes, played pretty well in the college football playoff semifinal.
Yeah, I thought JJ showed really great strides. I mean, there was we all had the doubts throughout the season about the passing game. I mean, there were times where it really didn't look that good. But I think Michigan showed down the stretch it can happen. And there's things that obviously they got to work on to eliminate those kind of crucial mistakes. But like you said, I mean, this was his first year starting, so you got to think that he's going to take some good strides in the offseason. And you hit it right on the head, dude. All of those teams are losing, with the exception of Clemson. But like you said, Klubnik doesn't have that full year start. It's gonna be he's basically a new starter. All of those teams are losing, like what you said, the most important position in football. So that right there gives Michigan a big advantage having McCarthy back. Yeah, I mean, I expect Ohio State, I'm sure they'll probably have Kyle McCord at quarterback next year. But still, McCarthy, I think that he's got it all to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten. And yeah, I mean the offense should be really, really good. And then obviously we do have some more news regarding the defense from today with Mike Morris and Mazi Smith. So obviously those will be tough to fill. But what do you think about those departures in the defense?
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise to me personally, you know, between Mike and Mazi. I think we kind of all figured they were gone. DJ Turner also announced. We're kind of just waiting on Jamon Green right now. That seems to be the big puzzle piece on the defense next year. But I thought we saw enough on the defensive line to where I think, you know, obviously going to lose some depth, but Mason Graham in the middle, he was fantastic as a true freshman, as was Derek Moore as a true freshman, really great as an edge rusher. I think those two guys are going to take major steps up next year. Iabioke's coming back, which is going to be absolutely massive for the pass rush. You know, he gets a full offseason, right? Like, he didn't get that last year.
He had a month.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, if give him a full offseason with Ben Herbert, and we'll see what happens coming up here next season. So ultimately, you know, yeah, Mike Morris, Mazi Smith, if they came back, I mean, we're really cooking with gas here, but ultimately those guys should go and go get paid, because and ultimately they play positions that the NFL values, right? Like, that's the thing about Blake Corum as well. I heard that the injury kind of went into it a little bit, where it was going to be about a 6-month recovery because it was a full meniscus repair. And he would have missed the whole draft process and slid a little bit. But ultimately, the NFL does not value that position. You know, Blake Corum is very valued in college football, is one of the top players, and he's going to get paid like it. Whereas, you know, Mike Morris is an edge rusher. Mozzie Smith is a guy who can get some interior pressure. And those guys are going to be valued and going to be pretty high picks. I would imagine probably, you know, high day two picks. I haven't seen too many mocks, but absolutely makes sense for those guys to go get paid. But ultimately, I think, you know, Michigan has done a pretty good job in particular recruiting the defensive line to have some depth there for the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think I really think that obviously those are two really good players that Michigan lost to the draft. But hey, last year Michigan lost Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. They came back and new guys stepped up.
And Dax Hill.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, dude. The secondary, having Will Johnson as a true freshman coming back, Rod Moore. I mean, those are two young guys that were huge in the secondary this year. So that part, I mean, I think that the secondary next year is going to be so good for Michigan. They've got some really good young talent coming back. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard that this college football season isn't even officially over yet, because I mean, I'm always excited for it, but I mean, I guess I really think this is, I mean, have the preseason expectations been any higher for this 2023 Michigan football team in the past? I don't think so. It's going to be a long off season waiting for that team to start, man.
Oh man, is it ever? It is. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I think about it, right? I think that Michigan is going to be, and they should be, probably what, top three for national title odds next year?
They really should be. I don't see who would be above them besides Georgia and maybe Alabama.
Well, that's the thing, right? Should Alabama, honestly, I mean, I know it's crazy to think about, but should Alabama be shorter title odds than Michigan?
Personally, I think so. But with the name Alabama, I think so.
Dude, you think they should be shorter? Shorter odds.
I think Michigan should have better odds than Alabama.
Yeah, short. Yeah. You think they should have shorter odds, a shorter price? Yeah. Right. That I do too. To be quite honest with you, I think Georgia, that'll be an interesting conversation, because after tonight they'll be back to back national champs. Right. But they're obviously going to be losing a ton as well. And I understand they've recruited very well. But it is really hard to win three in a row. And obviously to start, Georgia will have the shortest odds, you know, because that's what we do, right? The national champion is always next year's preseason number one, whether it makes sense or not. And we'll see what happens with Georgia, right? But they're going to be, you know, losing quite a bit, I would imagine, probably to looking to reload here. But ultimately, you know, I think USC is going to be up there, right, with Caleb Williams returning and things like that. But Michigan's done a great job in the transfer portal to address some weaknesses. They've got a ton of dudes returning, especially on the offensive side of the football, and especially if they get those offensive line guys like Zinter back. It's going to be a scary team, man. Really, really excited. It is bumming, though, watching TCU play here tonight and knowing that ultimately Michigan should have beat that team.
Yeah, Michigan definitely, like we talked about a little bit, it seemed like the staff just overthought it a little bit. I mean, you see Georgia taking advantage of the quarterback run with Bennett in that first half, something that Michigan waited, I think, a little bit too long to do. It is certainly hard to watch. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to be really excited for next year, and we're not quite sure what those odds will look like for the national title, but I'll tell you what, Michigan is not going to be plus 800 to win the Big Ten on FanDuel like they were going into this year, despite winning the Big Ten last year.
No, at this point, they're the clear favorite to win the Big Ten.
They've got to be. I'm sure they'll have Ohio State close in the odds because they always do, but Michigan's got to be the favorite.
Like, is Michigan minus money to win the Big Ten after today? Or are they short? Are they like plus 125, plus 150 to win?
Yeah, honestly, I think that I honestly think it'll be closer to maybe plus 200 and have Ohio State back and maybe the plus three, just because I feel like people, no matter what, just like to doubt Michigan.
Yeah,
So,
no, for sure. But I mean, at this point, you know, you have to kind of start changing your ways, right? Because that was the thing about Georgia too, for a long time. It was the thing about Clemson, but now Georgia's going to be back-to-back national champions. You know, Clemson ended up winning 2 out of 3. Like Michigan's won back-to-back Big Ten champions. At this point, you know, given what they're returning, I don't like to say overwhelming favorite, you know, but I think they're a clear-cut favorite above Ohio State, who is losing their quarterback, you know, and a guy who was back-to-back Heisman finalist never beat Michigan as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think if I were setting the odds, I'd probably put Michigan at about plus 125, 150 range. But yeah, I mean, after seeing, obviously Michigan lost a lot from the 2020 or 2021 Big Ten championship team going into this season. But when they had Michigan at plus 800 on FanDuel going, I was pretty baffled by that. So I'll believe it when I see it for them to not put Ohio State right up there behind us.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. You know, we're like we said, still waiting, and I think the Jamon Green decision's going to be big too, because right, who is going to be the guy opposite Will Johnson at the end of the day? Like, if it's Jamon Green, I'm feeling good about the secondary. If it's not, that's a pretty big question mark, I would say. Same with you know, Cornelius Johnson, though. I think the pass catchers are ultimately going to be fine, even with losing Ronnie Bell in Andrell Anthony. But honestly, with Corum coming back, man, I still want to see. We didn't see it much this year. I would love to see Donovan Edwards get some work in the slot, man. I really would.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude. I think that we're going to be seeing that for sure. I mean, he's probably the second best offensive weapon, maybe third outside Ronnie Bell this year. And obviously you can't have two RB1s, but essentially that's what they've got there, and his pass catching skills are so good. He won't have that cast, hopefully, anymore. No injuries in the offseason. Pray for that. So yeah, I mean, I think he's gonna, dude, he could be wide receiver one for Michigan, honestly, with the pass catching skills he has. He's so good. So yeah, I mean, he's gonna be used for sure. I mean, he is so talented.
He's very, very talented. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we don't have much more to say on all this, other than, you know, this is going to be an off season of extreme hype, and I think Michigan has earned it. I guess we could get a little bit into the all this has kind of overshadowed all the stuff coming out surrounding Jim Harbaugh, hasn't it?
Yeah, obviously, I think sometime this week he has an interview with the Broncos.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you, Scotty. I have not changed my stance from last week's conversation, even with all. I feel like it's all smoke and mirrors, to be quite honest with you. I think it feels like a negotiating tactic. I have no idea. You know, the stupid recruiting violation thing, that whole story is an absolute farce, in my mind. You know, I'm all. The only thing that, you know, that's really the NCAA is trying to actually punish Michigan for is for Jim Harbaugh telling the NCAA to pack sand. That's literally it. So I don't have much to say about that. I understand maybe he's got some frustration with the NCAA and college football surrounding that. But if you're Michigan, the guy deserves, first and foremost, he absolutely deserves to be the highest paid coach of the Big Ten. That's not even a question. So if you're Ward Manuel, just make it happen. To hell with these quote unquote recruiting violations where Jim Harbaugh maybe bought a kid a hamburger or had a kid do push-ups over Zoom. I mean, are you kidding me? It's an absolute joke. Forget about all that, man. Pay the man his money. He's earned it. He's won you back-to-back Big Ten championships, right? He's raked in money for the school, brought the program back. Give the guy his due check. Let's just move on with our lives here. Unless Jim Harbaugh ultimately truly has his heart set on the NFL, I don't think that's the case. I really don't, Scotty. I have not changed my stance from last week, even with all this other stuff coming out.
Yep, I am right there with you, man. I totally agree. I think that it is a negotiation tactic, like you said. Like, he back to back Big Ten titles, and Michigan has a coach up the road, the state of Michigan has a coach up the road making 9.5 million a year, who just lost 7 games. I mean, I truly am baffled at what is taking so long for the extension. Because yeah, I mean, it needs to be done. I mean, like, Harbaugh is interviewing with the Broncos this week. I like I said, I don't think anything's going to come of it, but I really
Well,
think
I heard it's just a Zoom interview though, right?
I heard that as well.
That's like that's not even real. I feel like in NFL standards.
So yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping that it gets done as soon as possible and he gets paid what he deserves, dude. I mean, the longer that this drags out, because I will not lie, it stresses me out, you know, seeing that Harbaugh might leave, because, you know, as a Michigan fan, I am a little bit used to some pain. And after winning back-to-back Big Ten titles and then Harbaugh leaving and Michigan going back to where they were before him, it would seem on par with some of the things that we've experienced. So I don't think he's going anywhere, especially with Corum coming back now. I think that that was a pretty good indicator. But yeah, I mean, I would really like to just hop on Twitter sometime this week and see that Harbaugh signed a big extension. That would be a big stress relief.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I still think he feels there's unfinished business. I think he does want to win a national championship, and quite ultimately, Michigan's going to have a chance to do that next season. You know, they've got an incredibly talented team. I think they should start the year top three. So yeah, I don't think he leaves, to be quite honest with you. I think he is trying to get a check. Maybe he's being a little petty, you know, given that they cut his salary in half in 2020. You know, maybe that I feel like there is a petty side to Jim Harbaugh, obviously. So maybe that's part of this whole thing. I don't know, man. But like you said, I want it resolved. I hope, you know, that it doesn't kill recruiting momentum like it did a year ago. But ultimately, we seem to be playing with fire each and every offseason.
Yeah, no, definitely. I hope it's done soon. I would hate for that to affect recruiting at all. But yeah, I agree. I think he wants to win a national title. And to be honest with you, I think that next year is definitely his best bet so far.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Manscaped, because we love Manscaped here at Brewcast, and you will as well. You can join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and all of their amazing, amazing products. The lawnmower, unlike anything you've ever used, I promise you, it is like magic. Cuts like butter. It's a great body trimmer. It's got the weed, also the weed whacker, nose and ear hair trimmer. Oh my God, they use the advanced skin safe technology. You're not going to get any nicks. You're not going to be cutting yourself with this. It is amazing, the products that Manscaped has. And when you get the Platinum Package, in addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and get some aluminum-free Ultra Premium Deodorant as well. Head to manscaped.com. We are going to get you 20% off and free shipping. All you have to do is enter promo code MNB20. That's MNB20 at manscaped.com. So real quick, let's touch on a little hoop, Scotty White, because things did not go Michigan's way at the Breslin Center on Saturday. Unfortunately, it was a hard-fought battle for the Wolverines, but ultimately shooting about 3 of 20 from the three-point line. Not going to get it done at the end of the day, man.
Yeah, that was a tough game to watch. That was one of the ugliest basketball games that I have watched in a while. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, teams are just going to start throwing everybody at Hunter Dickinson. He's passing it to open guys, and they're just not knocking it down. So, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, just a couple more of those threes go down, man. Just shoot 25% from three, and Michigan can win that game. Yeah, I mean, Juwan's got his work cut out for him to get this team to the tournament, man.
Yeah, he most certainly does, though. I do feel like they're turning the corner defensively, which is great to see. You know, even in that game against Michigan State, the defense played very, very well. And that was the biggest thing. I mean, you go look at the loss of Central Michigan, or even, you know, the battle with Eastern Michigan earlier in the year. The perimeter defense was an absolute farce. But they're starting to play better on that side, and I think they can win a lot of Big Ten games because they're athletic enough and talented enough. You know, if they play good defense, they're going to beat a lot of teams. That's a tough place to go and get a win, especially on a Saturday afternoon. You know, you're undefeated in Big Ten play. That is, you know, Michigan State always gets up for that game. It's a tough place to go in and win, but you got to be better. And also, Juwan's rotations, man, sometimes – can we get Will Cheddar in there a little
Dude,
more, for the love of God? Hey, he's literally a full-blown spark of energy off the bench. He plays so hard when he's in there, and good things tend to happen. Like, ultimately, I would like to see him get a little more of Terrence Williams minutes, but I think Juwan sits and brainstorms just his worst possible offensive lineups. He sits in a room, is like, who could I put out there? What five could I put out there that would just be the absolute worst offensive unit? And then he goes and puts him in the game just to prove himself right. Like he they had the who was out there? It was Kobe, T. Will, Reed, Jace Howard, and I can't remember who the fifth one at some point in the first half.
Dude, I know. Yep, I remember this one. I think it
And
was. I can't remember either.
I was just like, what is happening out
Yeah.
here? You've got one scorer out there in Kobe, and that's literally it. Other than that, it was rough to watch, man. It's like, can we stagger this a little bit? Figure out something. We'll get Will Jetter in there, man, because he's gonna make some good things happen for you.
Yeah, dude. I think Michigan was +6 with him on the floor, and I believe -15 or 16 was Terrence Williams on the floor. T. Will has been struggling, to say the least. And I think that maybe Michigan might need to try out maybe a new starting lineup. But yeah, some of those, dude. I remember that exact same rotation that you're talking about. I was watching the game and I said to my friend, I said, who is gonna score out here right now besides Bufkin? Like I that was baffling. And that was in a point where Michigan scored maybe 4 points in 5 to 10 minute spans. I mean, the
Yeah.
first half was, I mean, there was some good fight at the end to come back and make that a close game. So that was good to see. But I mean, I'm not a huge moral victory guy. I mean, that is not a very good Michigan State team. And a pretty disappointing loss when my expectations going into it honestly weren't very high. It still managed to be a very disappointing loss.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man, but the last few years, every time they've gone into the Breslin, they've just laid some clunkers.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, there was the 2020 when Michigan was Big Ten champions. I mean, even then, Michigan State, one of their worst teams under Izzo, and they couldn't get it done then. So.
No, so 2020, they lost that one at the Breslin in the last game of the regular season. Even though it didn't mean much, you still had a chance to sweep them. Last year, got absolutely ran off the floor in the second half, and then this year you go and you put up 53 in the Breslin. So I don't know what it is about this team not being able to go and play well in the Breslin. I know it's a tough place to play, but come on, you got to show a little more fight than that. The interesting thing is the Big Ten is. I think they have their next four games are very winnable. I know it's tough. Iowa's very good offensively, but very bad defensively. Got a really good chance to go in and win at Iowa on Thursday. You host Northwestern Saturday. You're at Maryland Thursday and home to Minnesota. Thursday the 19th and home to Minnesota on the 22nd. Those are four winnable games. At least go 3-1 there, and you're sitting at 6-2 in the Big Ten, and you're feeling pretty good as you look to host Purdue on January 26th. I think the schedule actually sets up pretty nicely for them for the next four games.
Yeah, dude, if Michigan can come out of that stretch 3-1, that would be absolutely massive. But yeah, I mean, going on the road in the Big Ten at any point is tough. And dude, Northwestern out of nowhere looks like a pretty good team this year. So you just never know what you're gonna get. But like you said, those are all winnable games. Those are four unranked teams. And yeah, I mean, at this point, Michigan's tied for first in the Big Ten. So it hasn't been a great start to the season, but honestly, a pretty decent position to be in right now.
Yeah, I think they got to probably win 12 or 13 Big Ten games
Yeah.
to get in the tournament. I think it's doable given the way they're playing defense, but they got to figure out these rotations a little bit.
Definitely. And that Central Michigan loss, I mean, they had done a really good job avoiding that bad loss. Couldn't really get
Going
the
to loom
huge
large
win,
for
but
sure.
yeah. I mean, I was looking at the bracketologies and right after that, I mean, just a total plummet. I mean, that was inexcusable.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. A lot of hoops to be talking forward. Also, football just knows how to stay in the limelight as well as they did today. Great that Blake Corum is coming back, man. That's the big thing we could take away from today. Also, as we are recording the end of this show here, 45-7 Georgia. So that's great. Makes me feel all good inside. Well, Scotty, where can we find you on social media, friend?
You guys can give me a follow on Twitter at Scotty White underscore. We're obviously very sad football season's over, but come hang out with us during basketball season and you can find all the basketball stuff there.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiArdi, and follow the Maize and Brew Twitter page at Maize and Brew. And please subscribe, rate, and leave a review for our podcast wherever you happen to get your podcast. We love your support and we love your feedback as well. So for my partner, Scotty White, I'm Luke Giardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.